You're listening to an interview with student reporter Jessica Morgenthaler and Dr. Robert Wright, a professor in the psychology department here at BYU-Idaho. He is also the director for the health psychology emphasis for students here. They talk about a study he conducted here on campus.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the study that you did.
Well, the idea for this started a long time ago when I was meeting with a number of students who are my research assistants. And it was just a brainstorm of wondering, you know, how much do people underestimate their weight or, on the other side, overestimate their height? Typically, when you ask someone their height or their weight, they're not always truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was how it started off, with wondering just how much difference there was, and then what other variables or factors might explain that difference.
Okay, awesome. And so reading in this article, it looked like you conducted a survey within a couple of semesters. You surveyed the students here on campus, is that correct?
Correct. It's a number of Psych 111 students, and they participated in this by completing an online survey where we asked them, first of all, how much do you think you weigh? And then how much do you want to weigh? And the same for height as well. And then we computed BMI, or body mass index, off of that. And then they came into our research lab, and there they completed a short health assessment where we got their actual height and their actual weight, and then we computed their actual BMI there as well.
Okay. And then, so what were some of the questions that you wanted answered?
Well, we were wondering if people are more neurotic, that is, if they're more emotionally instable, or if they appreciate their body more and body image, or if they don't follow a lot of health behaviors, such as eating fruits and vegetables or eating lots of sugary snacks or things of that nature, if that might influence how far off they were with their own assessment of their height and their weight, and if that would also influence where they wanted to be, what we called their ideal height and weight.
Okay. And you said did you ask some questions about like sugary drinks and fast food? What kind of questions did you ask, or what were you trying to compile there?
So there we were trying to ask some overall health behavior type questions and kind of do an assessment to figure out just what their diet entailed. Those questions were simple frequency questions where we asked, how often did you eat a brownie or a cookie? We called them sugary snacks. Looked at sugary drinks as well and fast food consumption, with the idea that maybe if they're eating more of those types of things, that might lead them to underestimate their weight even more, maybe denial.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might give them an idea that, boy, I really need to lose some weight, or that would be my ideal, where I want to be is if I could lose some weight. And that might be tied to some of those behaviors, was our original thought.
Okay, so looking at how much students would eat these unhealthy foods, how does that affect the outcome? Or what did you find from studying that?
That's an excellent question, and one that we really enjoyed looking at the answer for with this study. So basically what we found is that on average, women want to lose 16.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
From where they are versus where they want to be. 16.5 pounds. When we saw this, we were appalled, especially myself, to think about that much emphasis young ladies here on this campus are placing on weight. Now, men, on the other hand, they wanted to gain about 2.5 inches in height. And the interesting thing about this is that both gaining height and losing weight decreases the BMI, or the body mass index.
Okay.
So both genders want to decrease BMI for their ideal, but they both go about it in very different ways. Now you may say, well, wait a minute, how would you gain height? Isn't that impossible?
Exactly.
And truly that is, you know, there is some truth in that, unless we wanted to go back to medieval torture devices of stretching
right.
people.
Don't want to go there.
No. We do know that over the day, as the day goes on, we generally tend to shrink. Gravity does have an effect.
Oh.
But what we're noticing here is in that ideal, even though men can't gain the height, they want it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a social perception here of what is desirable. And similarly with weight, even though that's a little bit more amenable to change than height, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then what we found out, going one step further to try to figure out what is explaining this discrepancy, women in particular, if they had a good body image or a good body appreciation, they did not want to lose, drop their BMI as much.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if they didn't feel good about their bodies, what did they see as the answer? Losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, for men, we saw that the big variable for them was subjective health. If the men felt that their health was not good, so it was just an internal self-evaluation, what did they see as the answer? Well, it was dropping BMI, and most of that would have been by gaining height.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to feel better if I gain height, or if even with the men, if I lose some weight. So that was what was really interesting. We saw a little bit with the health behaviors, and that those people who ate more poorly in general were more likely to underestimate their weight and overestimate their height. And then the other thing was neuroticism, which is a big psychological term.
Yes, please.
For personality. And it basically means emotional instability. So for those people who are emotionally unstable, and this is both for guys and girls, those who are emotionally unstable desired to lose the weight. They were not satisfied with where they were, and the discrepancy between where they are and where they wanted to be was greater.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we see that, you know, the more people are unhappy with their body image, then we see that they want to a decrease in BMI.
Especially the women. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I was talking with Sister Lindsay, and she was suggesting that BMI might not be the best factor or best way to calculate body fat. Do you want to explain more about that?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. A lot of people, when they go in to see the doctor will become concerned if the BMI is too high. Generally, some terms like overweight or obese would be used. And the idea there is that for a certain height, you should be a certain weight. That's what BMI is all mm-hmm. about. And it's based on a huge sample size across peoples. And we see that BMI, higher BMI in particular, is related to mortality.
Okay.
And so we do know that BMI is useful in that case in predicting death.
Right.
Right. However, in looking at actual body fat, it is not the best way because BMI does not take into account body composition, muscle, water, different types of fat as well. Not all fat is bad.
Mm-hmm.
The fat specifically that's around the abdominal area is the bad stuff. It's known as visceral fat. It makes your organs work harder, and it also is a predictor of mortality, predictor of death. So that's really where we don't want that fat. But subcutaneous fat, which is the fat that gives your body more contours, it has been known as the big butt fat,
mm-hmm.
that type of fat is harder to lose, but it's actually not as bad for you. Not
right.
nearly as bad. It's actually essential,
mm-hmm.
a bit of that.
Yeah, we want to sit and have a little cushion.
That's right.
Yeah.
So looking at BMI only, there's a problem. Now, BMI can let us know if there's likely an issue with body fat,
mm-hmm.
but because we're not looking at that muscle, we're not looking at the bone, that type of body composition, it can mislead people. So the best way to do this, to figure out body composition, is to go in, even here at the Wellness Center, you can go into, they have an in-body assessment. I think they charge $1 for that.
Yeah.
Really neat setup they have down there at the Wellness Center. You can go in there and you can figure that out. So most accurately, BMI, it's easy to calculate. It does predict death, but it does have some limitations. So what I would suggest is that BMI should be considered an indicator of health, not the indicator of health.
Right. Okay. And maybe it's more popular because, like you said, it's a little easier to come by and still a good indicator. But yeah, a good thing to look at. So after looking at all your results, how can this help this obese epidemic, or how can this help students and people?
I think that's a fantastic question, and one in which researchers and practitioners alike and the common people are concerned about. We are getting bigger. We're seeing obesity-related diseases going through the roof. Diabetes, metabolic syndrome, even cancers have been linked to obesity. It's a major concern. So this study, keeping in mind it's just one study, mm-hmm. and it's just here in Rexburg on campus here. This study, I would hope, helps people see that our social norms, that is, what we perceive to be the norm, what we perceive to be beautiful even, does affect the obesity epidemic. It does affect our desires to go on diets, to restrict our food intake, to exercise excessively, perhaps. And I think the worst part about this, Jessica, is when people do these and they fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then they throw up their hands and they say, all is lost. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go and binge eat some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Tillamook's got a sale. I'm going to go buy a whole carton and I'm going to eat it all tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the concern is, in my opinion. What this study suggests is that we see our ideal and we try to shoot for it. And when we fail, I did say win because most of us do,
mm-hmm.
then we think all is lost and we just backslide and we don't go back to where we were. We go further and get
right.
worse.
So maybe these unrealistic expectations can really be harmful.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So where do you think all these expectations come from? Or what makes, you know, especially here on BYU campus, what makes people set these unrealistic expectations of their body image?
We like to refer to Rexburg as the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to refer to as BYU-Idaho as the bubble within the bubble. And so your question is a good one. Where are these influences coming from? I would venture to say we are not immune to the influences of media.
Mm-hmm.
Your models that are portrayed on TV, your sports athletes, even your friends on social media, which has been a huge thing lately, especially with General Conference and what's been mentioned there about taking a fast from social media to try to realign your expectations to be more realistic. I think that we are, as a student body here, largely influenced by that. Even though we like to think we're in a bubble and immune, I think clearly we are not.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to live within the world and not be of the world, but we're all works in progress on that.
Right, yeah. I think that social media kind of pops that bubble, kind of, yeah, like you said, intrudes in there. So maybe I kind of want to talk about what can we do, or what advice would you give to, you know, like as on a psychological maybe aspect, what should we be thinking about instead of thinking about, oh, look at this Victoria's Secret model, but what should students be thinking about or worrying about to maybe like help their health?
Personally, I think that we are so focused on what we are not and what we want to be that we forget about who we are. And in a lot of ways, I think if we take a moment to appreciate where we've come and the progress that we have made, whether that be small or great, I think that's a great first step. And to realize that we are all God's children. And because of that, we are all beautiful. Now, that's not a cop-out response for what, you know, your question that you asked, but it's a great place to start. When people start to feel that they have to lose as many as 16 pounds on average to be comfortable with themselves, I think there's a problem. I should also point out, this was mostly among freshman students as well. These are people who are coming to campus here. I would hope, and maybe this is a call out to the seniors and the juniors, to pull those freshmen in and mentor them just a little bit about what they should be feeling about themselves, what kind of expectations they should maintain. Now, of course, along those lines, I can't help but say, get out and be active.
Mm-hmm.
Get out and be healthy. Enjoy this time of your life when your body is working well.
Right.
And if your body's not working well, go out and work it, and it will start to improve.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how the body is. And don't rely on Little Caesars every night. Treat your body right. And in a lot of ways, things are just going to work out where you're going to feel better about yourself. And when you start feeling better about yourself, you treat it better. And it's this nice, positive, upward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
We often talk about the downward spiral with depression, right? But I think there's an upward spiral here where you feel good, and that leads you to do good things, and those good things lead you to feel good and even better about yourself. And I think that, Jessica, is the key. Small and simple steps will bring to pass some great things here in terms of our health and how we view ourselves.
That is very well put. Couldn't say it better myself. Yeah. So I hope, you know, the students out there will, you know, take that advice and look more on their, you know, what's going to make you happy and healthy, and maybe not the other way around. That's perfect. Well, is there any other things that you want us to mention about the study or thoughts that you've had?
I think it is very easy for us also to be wrapped up in things that are going on around us and to get lost in thinking about the future and the past. And I would also just say it's important to think about the current, the present situation as well. And that by so doing, I think we can keep those perceptions and expectations that we have for ourselves in context. I like to think about that first day of class. You walk in and you look at that syllabus and you see all those assignments that you have to complete.
It's overwhelming.
It's very easy to get overwhelmed. And so what I would suggest is you need to be conscientious and you need to have some goals for you, you know, in the long term. But if you focus too much on that, these unrealistic expectations and perceptions will creep in. And from my experience, you're setting yourself up for failure. So don't do that. Live in the moment. Enjoy life. And hey, even enjoy the weather here in Rexburg.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Brother Wright. Really appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.